fatherless daughter. It's a ray of hope for the fatherless son, from the faithful one.
I'm going to continue our series on Assignment 2020. So, Father, we thank you for what you're shaping within us. Lord, what you're speaking to us in this hour. I thank you, Lord, that you are not dead. You are very much alive in the present tense. And Lord, as long as we have your voice, we have your spirit, we have your word, we have your kingdom, we have your blood, we have your son, we have your love, as long as we have all these things, Lord, we do not fear. We are not without hope. And so we just bless you. Thank you for your word this morning. Season it with salt in Jesus' name. Amen. So the five goals for this year for Grace Church: reveal God's heart to our community. We continue to partner to do that. Have a leading change mindset. We are not whiners. We don't want to just gripe and complain. It doesn't do any good. We want to lead the change that we want to see. Number three, develop a culture of intentionality regarding making disciples, maturing in the Lord, having him be Lord of our heart and mind. Easy connectivity for those that want to be a part of the Grace Church family. I'm so excited to get back together when we can have our corporate expression. But I want to do that without losing sight of the good things we've seen and heard about people connecting in their homes around Scripture, spending time together with their families in the good Word of God, and small groups that have been able to carry on and continue. So we want to marry those two. The Lord prepared us for this. As I said last week, we were made for this time, given everything he spoke to us about Sundays are not enough. And then number five, develop a culture of honor. So when we do get back together, we'll have that opportunity to honor each other and treat each other well. Hopefully we're still doing that, just from a little bit of a distance. The Lord's been building in us a mindset of maturity. That's what this series ultimately is kind of boiled down to. Given us a mindset of maturity, a culture of maturity in our thinking. And I mentioned it a little bit last week. The most important aspect of maturing in Christ is there must be a desire to mature. We have to have a heartfelt desire to change and have our lives transformed. You know, I've mentioned a couple of weeks ago, I'm not sure the Lord wants everything to just go back the way it was. I think there were some ruts. I think there were some stagnation with many within the body of Christ. And all this shaking has brought us back to the one that is unshakable. Hebrews 12, 28 and 29. We belong to an unshakable kingdom. It is the Spirit of God living intimately and triumphantly in us that is our anchor and our rock that allows us to overcome. And so we just have this desire of transforming and becoming more and more like Jesus, our Master, our Savior, our Lord. You know, and the change that we want to see, we need a desire to change if we're going to see transformation. And it can't just be in our head. It really has to come from the heart. And a lot of people say they like change. You know, Isaiah 43, behold, I'm doing a new thing. And we always amen that. But sometimes we don't think through. In this new thing, he may want to change some of your attitudes. He may want to change some of your behavior. He may want to change some of your disposition towards somebody or somebody's. You know, so we amen it until he starts digging where? In our heart. You're never going to see change, lasting change and transformation, if it doesn't come from your heart. And man, the Lord's been speaking this to me all week long. You know, how many of us, if you're married, I know you can relate, how many of us have tried to change because of other people? Like our spouse wants us to change. Our spouse wants to quit doing that. Husbands who've tried, think it through history here. How many husbands have tried to change for their wife? How many wives have tried to change for their husband? And I don't know about you, but the success rate for me is not very high when it's not coming from my own heart. Why? Because duty is powerless. There's no power in duty. There's a whole lot of power in love. Love is and I'm talking about the God kind of agape love. Love is the strongest force in the universe. And that will always have to be our motivation for changing. Man, I'm telling you, how many people have failed trying to change for somebody else? And in my own experience, the Lord, this last week, Stacy had brought something to me that I did that she didn't like. And my tendency in my marriage has been, well, okay, I'm going to live by Stacy's conviction here, I guess. She doesn't want me to do it. I don't want to get in trouble, so I don't do it. And the Lord spoke to me. Oh, he is so clear. And he took me to 1 Corinthians 8:13, where Paul said, if me eating meat causes my brother or sister to stumble, I won't eat meat. And the Lord's like, Steve, if Paul knew Stacy, he would not do it if it causes her to stumble. And he said, Steve, if you doing that causes her to stumble, she's more than your brother or sister. She's your wife. And love exploded in my heart. It came from the Lord. He wanted to bring about change in behavior for her. In other words, see, you see the mindset difference? You can have a mindset that, well, I guess I'm under lock and key here. I got the ball and chain, so I guess I better dance the dance so things can be good. Oh my goodness. And I could get a coffee mug and a t-shirt for how many times I visited that realm. But praise God for breakthrough. Amen. Praise God for breakthrough. The Lord gave a word to me. Who did? The Lord did. Where did he speak it? In the soil of my heart. And it's from the heart that real change takes place. And now I'm doing it because I'm really honoring her. If Paul would do it to not cause a brother or sister to stumble, if he would change a certain behavior, I think I could change a behavior that's causing my wife to stumble. Well, amen. We could probably all go home right there. How about this? How many of us have been pressured into change? How many of us have been manipulated into change? I'm telling you, it's powerless. It's not going to work. And the Lord just arrested me this week. Steve, you can preach to them till you're blue in the face that they need to mature. But until there's a decision in their own heart, he literally used the word a circumcision. Until they let me circumcise their heart in this area. It's not going to have the power and the results that we all want to see. And I can't even tell you, like, circumcise our hearts, huh? Yep, that's what he said. That's what he's been speaking to me. And I'll give you some scripture because it's in there. That was exciting to find all that about circumcision of the heart. I can't even tell you really what it looks like, but I know this. I know you'll know it when it happens. Because your heart will turn. And to me, that is true repentance. And Jody Brown had been studying repentance here the last couple of weeks. She's one of our staff members. And what a revelation. When she looked into repentance, what she found was it literally means, sit with me, says the Lord, sit with me until I change your mind and your heart. That's repentance. See, I thought it was me trying hard, Donna. I thought I was going to try super hard. I'm going to repent. This is all about me changing my behavior. And it's so much more grace-filled if I'll just submit myself to the Lord, sit down with Jesus, be in his presence until his radiating love, penetrating love, changes my heart and my mind. Oh my goodness, church, if you don't get anything else, please grab a hold of that. Repentance is we're going to sit with Jesus until he changes our heart and our mind and our motive in what we're doing. I mentioned the chosen. You know, I keep talking about it because I cry all the time that I watch it because I just, Jesus, it's so simple. He's so unmoved by everything and everybody around him because he not only knows the truth, he is the truth. He's the truth. And when I look at him, I want to be like him. And he put that in me from the day he circumcised my heart. He put it in me to be like him. And so what makes me cry all the time is I see him as he's portrayed. I think he's portrayed so well in this series called The Chosen. And I see him and I'm not like him. And that kills me. But the other part, the icing on the cake of that, is that I know he loves me. When he looks at me, he doesn't see where, you know, all the places I'm not measuring up. He looks at me with pure, unadulterated love. And you know what? That kills me and it makes me want to cry. So it's hard for me to watch all these episodes when he's dealing with the lost and the broken, because when I see those people, I see myself. I see where he found me, and not only that, but where I continue to walk. But I tell you, my heart is circumcised. I want to be like him, and he's put that in me. So what I'm getting at this morning is to be mature, we're going to have a heart's desire to be mature. Matthew 22, verse 37 says this. You shall, and Jesus said it, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. And the key emphasis there is all. All your heart. All your soul and all your mind. You know, it's got to come from the heart. How about, you know, we think about daily discipline, and rightfully so. Lord, I want to be disciplined because I do want to mature. And maybe the Lord's asked you, don't eat that food. And so you look at that food and it's like, man, I want to eat that food. But when your heart is changed, when he's spoken a word, a rhema word, remember, rhema word is a personal word that comes out of relationship. Remember, rhema, relationship, easy to remember. A rhema word is a personal word from the Holy Spirit to you that's chock full of power. And it comes from personal relationship. But so I look at that food and I'm like, Lord, I want to eat that, but there's something I love more than that food. And it's you. How about this? Tomorrow morning, Monday morning, the Lord's, he's spoken to you about sitting with him, spending the first 5-10 minutes of the day, just be with me. And we want to sleep. The temptation is, oh no, the alarm's gone off and I want to sleep. Lord, I love sleep. But once my heart is changed, then it's like, well, Lord, there's something I love more than sleep, and it's you. There's something I so desire to have Christ formed in me, to undergo inner transformation. I want depth in my relationship with Christ, and I love that more than I love anything else. So what am I saying? Well, we need to cultivate our love relationship with Jesus. Cultivate your love relationship with Jesus, because duty doesn't have any power. Love has power. Oh my goodness. This is so good. Love has power. Think of the past where we're like, well, I'm tempted to do that, but I'm not going to do it because I promised the Lord I wouldn't do it. Or I know it's wrong. Not near as much power as I'm tempted to do that, but I love someone more than that. And my heart has been circumcised. If you're taking notes, write this down, because I looked up in the Strong's. What did he mean when he talked about circumcise the heart? It's a sign of our covenant with God. It's a sign of God's covenant with you when he circumcised your heart. It means to cut around. It's a sign of separation. See, when he circumcised your heart, he sets you apart for his ownership, his lordship, his leading, his guiding, if you will. And then it also means a removal of impurity, circumcising of the heart. So the Lord's been emphasizing this to me. I want to share some passages with you. I have Deuteronomy 10. It says 14 through 16, but I'm just going to give you 16. Deuteronomy 10, 16. Therefore, circumcise your heart and don't be stiff-necked or stubborn any longer. Amen. Circumcise your heart so you won't be stubborn anymore. Deuteronomy 30. And verse 6, And the Lord your God will circumcise your heart and the heart of your descendants to love him with all your heart, all your soul, that you may live. That's Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 6. He'll circumcise your heart and the heart of your children to love him with all your heart and soul, that you may live. I love that. Jeremiah 4:4, circumcise yourselves to the Lord, and take away the foreskins of your hearts. And then there's Romans, New Testament passage, Romans chapter 2, verse 28. For he is not a Jew who's one outwardly, nor is circumcision that which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew who is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, not in the letter, whose praise is not from men, but from God. Boy, that totally goes with what we've been talking about. Because when you have a rhema word, a personal word from the Lord, where he's spoken a word to you or a directive to you to not cause someone to stumble or to not partake of that or do this or do that, it has power. It has power because it's come straight from him, and now you don't even care what other people think about it. says, praise is not, whose praise is not from men, but from God. I mean, you know that you know that you know. I'm just going to walk this out, and if you have a problem with it, I'm sorry, but that's your problem. And then Hebrews 8:10, for this is the covenant I'll make with them after those days, says the Lord. I'll put my laws in their mind, and I'll write my laws on their hearts, and I'll be their God, and they shall be my people. That's one of the terms of the new covenant between us and God, is this inward work. You'll never see lasting change if it doesn't come from the inside first. So we're purposing intentionally from our heart to let God bring about Christ-like maturity. And, you know, last week we read Matthew 5, 38 through 48. I honestly don't know if we should have even read it yet. I mean, I guess I felt led to read it. I really wanted to read it. But it's so challenging for the flesh and the self-centered nature. I don't know. I don't even know if we're ready for it yet. Because let me tell you, we cannot walk these things out if our heart is not circumcised. Duty has no power. You can read it, but the law is not near as powerful as love is. And if your heart isn't turned, that Lord, 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 I want to be like you. So I give myself to you. And yes, I'm tempted to repay evil for evil, but I love you more than I love repaying evil for evil. Woo, hallelujah. Come on, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Because in Matthew 5, 38 through 48, Jesus invites all of us to radical purity from the heart, right? Radical humility, radical generosity, radical love. He says that we're mature when we do these things. Are you ready? When you can resist giving revenge or retribution to an evil person, you're mature. Jesus says when you don't repay an insult with an insult, you're mature. When someone wants to sue you and you give them more than what they're trying to sue you for, you're mature. When you go the extra mile with someone who's demanding, you go with them. In other words, the boss says, hey, all the work's due in 5 days, and you're like, I'm going to get it done in four. When you loan or give money, do it generously with no thought of getting it back. Jesus says, when you're doing that, you're mature. And as I mentioned last week, don't let condemnation come in, because remember, the process of maturity, perfection, as Jesus describes here, is a process. It's a process. So while we're moving from point A to point B, don't you let the devil condemn you or fill you full of guilt because you haven't arrived yet. I mean, Jesus and being conformed to his image is a pretty lofty goal. He says also in Matthew 5, when you love your enemies, when you bless people who curse you, when you do good to people that hate you, when you return prayer for persecution, people are persecuting you and you're like, I'm going to pray for you. That's a sign of maturity. When people use you and you pray for them. And then number 7, when you love people who don't give you love to love them with. When God the Father is ultimately your source for how you treat other people, that's maturity. Guys, we are not going to walk this word out. It's not going to become flesh in us if we don't have our hearts synchronized with him. It's got to be an inward work. You can think about it in your head all day long, but it's got to be born out of your heart, intimacy with Jesus. Because therein, in that surrender, comes the power and grace to walk these things out. I mean, in those moments, guys, it's no longer us that live, it's Christ that's living in us. We have no chance of walking this out without a circumcised heart. Jesus even did Moses 2.0. He upped the ante on all the law in Matthew 5. Why? So they would realize this is impossible without a new heart and a new spirit. You're not going to be able to fake this one. You're not going to be able to just act like you're keeping all these. Because remember, he said early on, you've heard it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But if you look on a woman with lust in your heart, you've committed adultery. So the purity I'm looking for is inside. And so he's raising the ante on the law. He's going above and beyond. He went on to say, you've heard it was said that you should love your neighbor but hate your enemy. I say love your enemies. So he's upping the ante. Why? Because he wants you to know, without a new heart and a new spirit, if I've not made covenant with you in your heart, you're not hearing this personally from me, you have no chance of walking it out. He doesn't need your self-effort. He needs your self-surrender and simply your cooperation. He needs you to believe and receive and know that it's His will and your heart's desire to mature and be like Him. I think a big part of this series is God's intention to change the world by changing us. Why? We're in April, people, and we're still on the first series of the year talking about maturity. Why is this so important to Him? Because He wants to change the world by changing us. We had a prophetic word given in March. It was part of that Ephesians chapter 3 word that we would know invincibility within right before the COVID stuff came out. Listen to this prophetic word in March of this year. The word was, God is coming back to His church and not back to a building. How interesting is that? The word was, God's coming back to His church, not back to a building, but back to our daily lives. And listen, back to the inner chamber of our hearts. If anything comes out of COVID-19, and I've said many times, I'm not saying God caused it, but can He use it? Oh yes, He can use it to slow things down, get us back sitting with Him, reprioritizing what needs to be priority. One of the things He's using this for is returning to the inner chamber of our hearts. Personal intimacy. I was visiting with a gentleman Friday night. Stacy and I had dinner with a couple from here at the church. And we were just reminded once again, because he talked about at a former church years ago when he was doing worship ministry, he said, you know, I just think I just burned out and I lost sight of my personal relationship with Jesus in lieu of doing things for Jesus. And we were reminded of this statement that ministry instead of intimacy is idolatry. But intimacy or ministry that's born out of intimacy is a beautiful thing. Man, God forbid that Sunday morning ever took the place of intimacy with Jesus. Are you hearing me? God forbid that Sunday morning ritual, you know, rut for some people took the place of intimacy with Jesus. You can have intimacy with Jesus, and you need to have intimacy with Jesus every single day of your life. He paid such a high price to put His Spirit inside your heart. So you can have day-to-day, heart-to-heart, spirit-to-spirit dialogue. And where He can be Lord. Where He can be Lord of your life. So God, what's God doing? God is taking us inwardly for the purpose of pointing us outward. It should sound like breathing. God walks with us inwardly. Have you followed Jesus inwardly in prayer lately? You need to do it. It sounds like Psalm 139, 23 and 24. Search my heart, O God. Search my heart. Let me know if there's any off way in me. If I'm off path, off course, lead me in the way everlasting. Following Jesus inwardly in prayer so we can then follow Him outwardly. Amen. My goodness. It sounds like breathing. What we take in, we're able to breathe out. It sounds like this. Freely you've received. What comes first? Receive. Freely you give. And here's Psalm 139, 23 and 24. Oh, I got it right here. It says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Man, have you invited Him not just into your heart to live and tuck Him away somewhere, but have you invited Him in to search your heart? Try me, know my anxiety. See if there's any wicked way in me and then lead me in the everlasting way. 1 John chapter 2, verse 5 and 6, by this we know that we're in Him, literally that we abide with Him. He who says he abides in Christ ought himself to walk just as He walked. So that's what's going on. That's why we're digging this maturity stuff out and why He's knocking on the door of our heart this morning. Because here's a great question. How do we consistently in our walk, not conform to the world, but be like Jesus? I think that's a valid question for Christians all over the world. How do we consistently not look like the world, but look like Jesus in our walk? How do we experience lasting change? I don't know about you. I don't want to just be free. I want to be free indeed. Jesus said, if you know the truth, right, truth will set you free. And that we, in knowing Him, that we would be free indeed. That's what I desire. How do we allow the Lord to truly circumcise our heart, give us a new heart where we fully belong to Him? How about Romans 5:5? The love of God has been shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Spirit. Matthew 5:8, blessed are the pure or single in heart, for they shall see God. In other words, if it's pure, it's single. It's the only ingredient is Him. There's nothing else there that takes precedence over Him. Other scriptures on the heart, Matthew 12:34, out of an abundance of the heart, Jesus said, your mouth will speak. Whatever's in your heart in abundance will come flying out of your mouth. That's why traffic is a good thing. It's just a little test for us. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. My goodness. Proverbs 23:26. My son, give me your heart. Psalm 51:10. Lord, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. Here's the beautiful part. He has done that. If you're born again, you have a new heart and you have a new spirit. He has circumcised it. Maybe what we lacked was we didn't recognize He'd already done that. That we've cut covenant with Him, and He's cut covenant with us. Where? In our heart. Let's go back to Matthew 22:37. What's the whole thing about? We're going to love God with all our heart. Love God with all our heart. And I felt like this week the Lord just wanted to remind us that we have this new heart. We have this new spirit, a right spirit within us by the grace of God through salvation in Jesus Christ. And that if we want to really walk this walk, it's got to start in our heart. It's got to be a heart change. And allowing Him to do that work. Here's one of my favorite passages, Proverbs 4:20-23. This is the New Living Translation. My child, pay attention to what I say. Listen carefully to my words. Do not lose sight of them. Let them penetrate deep into your heart. For they bring light to those who find them. And look at this. It brings healing to your whole body. I love Ecclesiastes. Banish worry from your heart and bring health to your whole body. That's what he's saying. The word of God brings light to us and healing to our body. And then he says again, the heart. Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. You know, in watching The Chosen, I'm just going to mention it just briefly again. Watching Jesus sit down with Nicodemus and explain to Nicodemus, listen, what I'm bringing doesn't have anything to do with outward performance. It has to do with inward change in the heart of a human being. That I'm going to bring him a new spirit. And all this law that Nicodemus was so studied in, it was hard for him to wrap his mind around an internal change because he was so used to outwardly conforming himself to whatever the rules were. And Jesus says, no, I'm going to come and deal with man's sin issue that began here in his heart. We're going to clean the inside of the cup, Nicodemus, so that we actually have the grace, the power, the love to walk out what the Lord asks of us. So we're guarding our heart. If you've been watching online, some of the stuff I've done on Facebook live on Wednesday nights, but also just in the morning, we need to be gardening our heart as well. Not just guard our heart, but garden it, keeping fear out of it, keeping worry and CNN and those things out of it. Stony ground, thorny ground, keeping all the stuff out of it so that His word and His life is permeating through our heart. Every issue that I have today began in my heart at some point. Think about that. Every issue that you face began in your heart at some point. So if we're going to bring lasting change, it's got to begin in the heart. We know God does it that way. When we got born again on the inside. Jesus talked to the Pharisees and said, these people honor me with their lips, but what was far from him? Their heart. He said, literally in vain they worship me. Because it's all outward. Even he talked about their prayers, that they were praying to be seen outwardly of men. The whole gospel of the kingdom of God is this redemptive invasion that turns your heart and turns mine. Yeah. A cutting away where he separates you for himself and love becomes our motivation. And love. Love is the fulfillment of the law. Think about that. The book of Romans. Love is the fulfillment of the law. If we'll just walk in love, we won't fulfill any of the lusts of the flesh. I want to show you another passage in Ezekiel 36, 26 and 27. It says that he's given us a brand new heart and a brand new spirit. I'm going to read it to you. I think I just have it. Yeah. Listen to this, Ezekiel 36, 26. I will give you a new heart, says the Lord. Ezekiel's prophesying what's coming. I'm going to give you a new heart. I'm going to put a new spirit inside you. I'll take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh, a soft heart. I'm going to give you a soft heart, says the Lord. I'll put my spirit within you. And then from inside, I'll cause you to walk in my ways and keep my judgments and do them. Man, can I say again, how many of us have tried to change for other people? You can't do it that way. The change has to begin in the heart, and the good news is that we've got a brand new heart. You know, we've experienced a lot of great things here at Grace Church so far, but I think every one of us would agree that we can go deeper and we can go further in our walk with Christ. We can go deeper and we can go further in our intimacy and our love relationship with Him. I think, you know, if I were to sum it up, He's not interested in behavior modification outwardly. He's interested in this inward transformation and the turning of the heart. And we so much, seems like the church has majored on for hundreds of years, behavior modification or sin management and all that. You know what? When your heart belongs to Him, you love Him more than any of those things that the enemy tempts you with. But you, as I said last week, you don't just roll out of bed, right? Defaulted with a renewed mind and worshiping God. And maybe you do sometimes, but on the whole, we roll out of bed and we kind of default to the flesh. We got to renew our mind. And listen, we got to renew our love relationship with Christ. We've got to say once again, Lord, search my heart, search my heart. And can I tell you that He is trustworthy? He is tender with your heart. He is gentle with your heart. If He finds a thorn in there, He'll pluck it out for you. In His love for you, He's not coming with a hammer. He's not coming with shame. He's not coming with guilt. He's not coming with fear and intimidation tactics. He's coming beautifully and tenderly and lovingly. Oh, amen. And then the beauty of that, church, is Jesus will never be different through you than He is to you. And if the world would say of us as the body of Christ, I don't know, I just haven't seen that much Jesus from the body of Christ here in America over the years. If they would say that to us, then we've got to get a better revelation of who He is to us. Because He's not going to be different through you than He is to you. We need to see Him. We need to know Him. We need to be at His feet. We need to be devouring His word. We don't live by bread alone. We live by every word that proceeds out of His mouth. And just this intimacy relationship with Christ. Man, I hope this is bearing witness with you. I hope it's ministering to you. Because we've seen a lot of great things, but we can go deeper. We have the fruit of the Spirit here at Grace Church, but there's more fullness for us in the fruit of the Spirit. There's more consistency for us in the fruit of the Spirit. I don't know about you, but I get so tired of my emotions and thoughts taking me captive instead of me taking them captive. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 through 5. You know, we war not against flesh and blood. But Paul uses this analogy there where he uses a Roman soldier analogy where we take every thought captive. A Roman soldier would take someone captive by the authority of the Roman government. You and I have authority in Christ to take our thoughts and emotions captive. Yeah. Instead of them taking us captive, you have authority to do that. Yeah. In Him. Man, Father, I pray that for us this morning. I pray in the name of Jesus that, Lord, we're just arrested in our heart. This is an internal work. It's the new covenant. It's You writing Your law in our mind and in our heart. It's a work from the inside out, not the outside in. And Father, I just thank You for those that are worshiping this morning, that this is bearing witness with them, that we are operating in the authority of Christ via the Holy Spirit to take thoughts captive. It is our choice to guard in our heart and not let fear, worry, and anxiety in. It's our choice to guard in our heart and not let offense in. It's our choice to let continually the love of God flood our heart by the Holy Spirit, that we would bear much fruit. I pray that for each and every one of us here this morning, in Jesus' name. And again, we can measure breakthrough, we can measure transformation in some of those things. I want to not just be free, church, I want to be free indeed. And what I'm trying to get to you is it starts in your heart. That's where lasting change comes from, and just allowing Him to do His work daily in our heart. And if we were all together, I'd say daily. Everybody say daily. Daily work in our heart. So I want to be equipped with a personal relationship with the Holy Spirit. I want to know what it is to be part of spiritual family. And from there, I want to know what it is to abide with Jesus. Abiding is not taking inventory of all my sin. Abiding is me walking out a love union with Christ every day. My Lord, my Savior, and my best friend. So I want to know this personal relationship with the Holy Spirit. I want to know what it is to be part of spiritual family. You know, when we do come back together corporately and we refire up discovery groups and disciple-making groups and all those things, well, we need to go after it. We need to go after it because that's important. Spiritual family is important. Abiding is important. I want to go from there to lordship, where I'm hearing and obeying on a consistent basis. And then what's the end result of all those things? I experience ongoing transformation into the image of Jesus Christ Himself. Let me pray for you. Father, I thank You this morning for the good Word of God. Thank You, Lord, that it's all about the heart. And Lord, I just pray all week long. Holy Spirit, we give You permission. All week long, would You just speak and inquire in our innermost being, in our heart, that as we cultivate intimacy, great ministry is a natural byproduct. And Lord, would You forgive us when we thought that, you know, good fruit was the basis of having a relationship with You, when in reality, good fruit is simply the byproduct of a love relationship with Christ, where our heart's been circumcised, our heart's been turned to You. I thank You for this, Lord. I thank You for everything productive that'll come out of this break we've been on. Again, we're mindful of those in the heat of battles. And Lord, New York City comes to mind. I mean, just different places, Lord. We don't lose sight of that, but at the same time, hey, arise, shine, for My light has come and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Darkness is in the earth, yes, but My glory is resting upon you and will be streaming from you in this hour. Receive it, church. Believe it and walk in it in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a great day, everybody.
You've been listening to Grace Church, advancing God's kingdom, one heart at a time. For more, visit us online at gracechurch.community.